Hello and welcome back to Brussels Unplugged. It's September, it's raining, we don't know what to wear at these days anymore. Mathilde, right, how are you feeling about this new season? Let's call it a new season.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Brussels Unplugged after last month's episode. September is typical Brussels September, a bit of rain, a bit of sun, a bit of everything here. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit of snow, who knows, in the next days. But we have sun here, and we have our very VIP guest with us.
Indeed we do.
And this is after we had hosted in July Georgia Brooks from the Nine, and now we move towards art.
Indeed.
And it's with us Dorca Demeter. Dorca, welcome to Brussels Unplugged.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Dorca, with you we're going to talk about art. I'm just going to give few hints. Dorca has created not one, not two, but three Instagram accounts. Magic of Art Nouveau, Art Nouveau Brussels, and Beyond the Bubble. They have three different target audiences, but I'm going to let you explain a bit of the reasoning and why you decided to open these Instagram accounts.
Well, the story how it started, it was during COVID, actually. I'm belonging to that minority who had a really good time during that COVID lockdown back then, I have to admit. I arrived to Brussels 14 years ago. It was just 5th Sunday, September, my 14th anniversary of
Congratulations.
Arrival.
Congratulations.
For a month, ever since I'm around working in the European Parliament. And I always loved Art Nouveau. That love comes from my mother, who's the biggest Art Nouveau fan. But, you know, guys, in our lives in Brussels, who has a whole weekend to just look at facades around the city, right? Like you just never have that. So I bought maps already that I should look at this. I brought books about Art Nouveau. And then finally COVID hit. And unlike in France, we didn't have any kilometer limit in Brussels for doing sports.
That's true. Yeah, I remember that. Everyone started running.
So that was my little back door for starting discovering the city. So I just put on sports gear. And within the first 3 weeks of the lockdown, I walked 100 kilometers of Art Nouveau in Brussels.
Amazing. So there is something beyond the Maison Horta, no? Because that's the most famous Art Nouveau building that everyone
knows.
Can you
give us a few landmarks that our listeners must absolutely see? That they're just getting to Brussels, besides
the Horta Museum, yeah, of course.
Well, it's countless. It's hundreds and hundreds of houses, even if not only in the just Art Nouveau style, but in that period there was a huge boost at the turn of the century in the population of the city. Whole new neighborhoods were built up, and in those neighborhoods you see, for example, lots of eclectic houses. That means that there's a bit of mix on the facades, where you would find a little stained glass window, a little ceramical panel. So actually the list is just endless in Brussels, and this is what I find even after these last 4 years, that we weekly I could discover new details and new specificities. Well, Brussels is one of the capitals of Art Nouveau in Europe, but it's definitely the cradle of European Art Nouveau, as it was Victor Horta, the first architect who brought on the continent this style. What was revolutionary about his work, it was that he decided to touch upon the traditional structure of the houses. So it's not only that it's a beautiful facade with this whiplash lines, but he started building houses based on the personality of the owner.
All right.
Interesting.
So this is what was so revolutionary about his work, and then that spread also in Western Europe, but as far as Vienna, that was a bit of different type of Art Nouveau, but until Budapest, and also you go on in St. Petersburg or Moscow, you have beautiful Art Nouveau examples. And somehow Art Nouveau is what connects us all Europeans, in that sense that it was the last European common architectural style.
And what is revolutionary about your work is that, indeed, by working in the bubble, we all used to be a bit more of the same nerds in politics, in institutions, and so forth. How did you come in deciding about opening an Instagram account? Okay, that was the passion, but what was the thought behind? Okay, you thought, okay, I can have some following. Some people might be interested in that.
I always loved traveling, and at some point with my work, I traveled so much that I didn't dare to post it any longer on my Facebook, because I'm Hungarian from Romania. I know that in that part of Europe, there are still families that can travel once in a while. So I still wanted to share my photos. So I set up this totally anonymous account on Instagram, where I started posting freely my photos. Not many people knew who I was, and I got to 200 followers in 2 years. So this was the point.
It was a slow start.
Now it's up to 60,000, the big one. So wow. Yeah, this is how it started. So
did you start with the Magic of Art Nouveau or with Brussels?
At that point, it was called Magic of Moments, because I wanted to share my special moments from my travels. And then when I reached 10,000 followers, I renamed it Magic of Art Nouveau. Because I learned a lot, how they say in French, apprends sur le tas. I learned a lot about social media by doing it. And I realized that at a certain point, my account had to be about Art Nouveau, because I built up a public that was interested in Art Nouveau and followed me for Art Nouveau. And what I see still up to this day, it's very few accounts who can mix at the same quality different topics and themes. Mm-hmm. And normally, if you start to follow someone, you follow them for a certain reason. And once that profile stops providing it, like, for example, there's someone from Belgium posting about Belgian hikes, and then the person travels to Mallorca and posts from Mallorca, and then comes back to Belgium. And you could be like, yeah, I'm happy to take the Belgian recommendations, but I'm not interested about the holiday of that other person in Mallorca necessarily. So this is what I realized, that you have to focus on your topic, because your public is built upon your ways. So that's why I decided to rebrand and to rename my account for Magic of Art Nouveau at that point.
All right. So it was, let's say, a bit of a strategy decision, or was it also an emanation in the way that Art Nouveau is from you? Is that your number one artistic passion, or do you also have a spectrum?
Well, by now it has become my passion, and I have to admit, we will probably talk about this later as well, but last year it was the year of Art Nouveau in Brussels.
Yes.
And it was like heaven on earth for an Art Nouveau Instagrammer to be in the city during that year. So definitely Art Nouveau is my number one, but it's not the only thing. Like, I love very much Gothic style if I travel, like Gothic churches and other styles as well.
What I'm curious to know indeed is, when we think about social media and Instagram accounts, we'll think about these influencers that they talk about lifestyle, traveling, makeup. I would never thought about it. You know, an Art Nouveau account can get to up to 60,000 followers. So what I'm curious to know is, who are the people that follow you? You know, is there a conversation that you have? You see that there is engagement. You talk about the photos that you post. That they reach out to privately. What do they ask you? What do they want to know from you?
So a few things about this question. One of them, what I found, it's incredible that my followers are almost half men and women, and almost from all age categories, from 14 to 80. I had a follower, very nice lady from the US, who was following me. I'm not even sure whether she's around any longer, but she was like 92 years old, and she kept sending me messages. Also, how it became personal contact, as you already mentioned, because honestly, at the beginning, I realized I'm spending more and more time on doing my social media. And I had this this thought at the beginning that I don't want to become like a gamer in their virtual world that actually has nothing to do with real world. But especially in Brussels, and that's why I'm so happy to be here today and talk about this topic, is that after 10 years spent in the city, I finally managed to get connected to the city properly through my Instagram.
All right, tell us more about that. Yeah. That's a really nice way of phrasing it. Yeah, tell us more.
So how we all live this life here, there are so many divisions. Where we come from, what we do, which political party we belong to. Brussels, it's very explicit in that sense. And it's very few things that can really connect people. But if a friendship starts with a common interest, then it grows beautifully. You know, all these receptions we go to, and then you go there, you have these small talks, where you're from, for how long have you been working in Brussels, what do you do? And then you go home and maybe another evening was just wasted because you never see these people again, and you might find something in common or not. And with my Art Nouveau account and my Art Nouveau experience on social media, it's totally the other way around. There's something in common. There's a photo, there's a place, there's a question, there's a date. There's something in common that you start the conversation with. And everything builds up on that. And then at that point, it doesn't count your background, who you are, where you come from, because you have certainly something in common that gives a very strong base to build friendships on.
Lovely. Pietro, you have the same feeling that indeed I can really relate to what Dorca said. There is like, there are some, the idea that we live in silos here in Brussels, no? I mean, that
indeed.
Especially now that September is the month of the rentree parties, you know, I mean, we've been, this week we've been to many, many parties. Do you also have that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. You know, sometimes I go out for drinks with friends and, you know, there's always that one friend that will claim that at least half of the Brussels population works in the bubble. Well, that's actually not numerically possible when you look at the amount of people that live in the city and capital region of Brussels and the people that work in institutions. I think Brussels is at, what, like 2 million, and institutions is, what, 30 to 50,000 about. So, yeah, there's a few people missing there. And I think it's because we need more bridges. We need more bridges like art.
Exactly. This is exactly how I see it, that there's this urge. After these 4 years, I can say that there's this urge from the side of the EU bubble as well as the city to connect somehow. But it's very hard to find how to connect, because you come here in Brussels, even if you want to get out of the EU bubble, how do you do it? You go in a local bar saying like, hi guys, here I am, I want to make friends. It's weird,
you
know,
like
how do you do it? And I find it as a mission of mine as well, in a way, and that brings us to my other profile, Beyond the EU Bubble, that was already set up on purpose with this name on purpose, somehow to help those people who actually want to get out of the bubble, because most of them or some of them feel totally fine in the bubble, and that's nothing wrong with that. But those who want to open up a bit and get connected to the city, get connected more to this country than just visiting Leuven, Ghent, Bruges and the seaside once in their life and then it's done. To make this connection, because the urge is there, the wish is there, and it's just providing a way how to do it.
Well, I'm curious to know, because indeed you mentioned we were about to get there to beyond the bubble, and of course you manage three different Instagram accounts. They have different followings, they have different purposes. Of course, you do it as a passion, so I guess you enjoy doing it. But there is also some work, no? I mean, we have been producing this podcast only for a few months now, and there is a bit of work, so the drive has to be very strong, no? I mean, I guess it takes some time to manage all these accounts, right?
It does. It definitely does. I'm paying very much attention from the beginning that in no way it goes against my work, what it's my daily job. But the funny part is that many people that I know through my Instagram, it doesn't even cross their mind that I had another job. like they know me that I'm the Instagrammer person, right? So it does take time and energy, but it also gives it back. The way I feel it is that normally I'm consuming very, very little piece of social media. The time I spend there, it's connecting. I'm reacting to every comment, to every message, and that's what takes my time.
Great. And well, that's very interesting to know, because indeed it takes, I think that's what also builds a community. And you talk about having something back. Before we started this podcast, you were telling us that you have been invited to a very nice soiree at the Nine Club. And indeed, about talking what you had back, I mean, you have been invited to talk about Art Nouveau as well. And so this is also part of the great experience of sharing some knowledge and also getting back, right?
Exactly. And I love to share more and more, or as much as I can, about my passion with my colleagues, with whoever I meet, because there are so many opportunities in this city. And I really feel that many of us are not using it well enough. So I always try to give very practical recommendations. Someone is coming visiting, where to take them, or someone just asked me on Instagram, coming from abroad, whether I would guide them. Well, I don't do that yet because I just...
It's a new business.
I need another life to do it. But indeed, I'm really trying to share as much as I can, because I haven't learned architecture or art history, so everything I learned through
by doing
during these few years. Yes.
Is there like a Brussels Art Nouveau tour, like specifically designed for that? Is someone doing that?
There are a few options in that sense. There are art tours. Yes, there are amazing guiding companies in the city, like Arau, for example. They have special Art Nouveau tours. When my mother came visiting, she was always participating in one of those. And the other thing that is really nice for visitors and people living in the city alike is the Art Nouveau Pass that was developed by the Brussels Museums, where you get this pass and then you get to visit several sites with it. But also, I feel that people from our community need some extra motivation, because living here in Brussels on Saturday to pay in a tour that is normally for tourists, we wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah, I
wouldn't. Or it's not typical, at least, unless you're really enthusiastic about something.
Pietro, you wouldn't do it.
It depends. My mom as well loves museums, so probably, you know, I'd be, you know, play tourist when the tourist visits. But since I live here, even though I haven't been here as long as you guys, I've only been here for about 2 years, so, you know, I still don't want to play tourist in the city I live.
Exactly. But somehow I feel that if someone just tells you what to do and how to do, it's more motivating to do it. And also what we did, I'm also editor now, Art Nouveau editor of We Love Brussels, a community, and that I'm really happy to be part of.
It's a very known Instagram account indeed, yes.
Exactly. So with them, for example, we organized a few years back on World Art Nouveau Day, a community walk in the EU Quarter for architecture Art Nouveau discoveries.
All right. When is that? When is the Art Nouveau Day?
It's on the 10th of June, because it was exactly on that day that Gaudi, who was the most famous architect in Barcelona, and Ödön Lechner, the most famous Hungarian Art Nouveau architect, and they both died in different years, but they both died on 10th of June.
I hope not in the same way, but...
I never looked into that part, honestly.
Okay. Let's not investigate that.
But it was then a common initiative that has grown really big all over in Europe, that on 10th June we celebrate the World Art Nouveau Day, and then many cities and institutions, mainly coordinated by the Réseau Art Nouveau Network that's based here in Brussels, that there are several events and activities that one can join.
What I'm curious to know, because, I mean, of course, I come from the communication background, so I'm fascinated about these very successful projects. Do you follow, I mean, of course, I guess you chose Instagram as a main communication tool because, of course, it's based mostly on pictures, but do you also follow and you feel forced to follow the new trends? So when Instagram switch heavily on Reels, that you have to follow that to keep your account growing, or your account is more, there is more a sort of a very personal connection, so you think anyhow your people will post, will follow you and will engage with you because you post something that is meaningful to them?
It's a very important question, and it's a very hard one, actually. Because we saw it exactly as you mentioned, it was like 2 years ago that Instagram started only focusing on the Reels. That was a bit weird in the way that Instagram is mainly about photos, and then TikTok was more for videos. So why transform a photo focused thing into a video focused thing? And then that went on for a while, and then it's not the case any longer. Reels are not necessarily going better than photos. Then they changed the algorithm regarding the tags, and so it's since I've been doing it on a daily basis for 4 years now, I see these trends, and there's huge pressure that I feel myself, that more and more videos come out, like with the subscription. The subtitling, and as you said, that there's so much work in that one. And for me personally, who does this really as a hobby, I'm not able at this point to invest more energy than I do already into this project. So it even crosses my mind sometimes that maybe this whole thing is going to change, that even though I keep doing what I've been doing, it's going to pass me and it's not going to exist forever. I don't know. For the moment, this is how I feel it. This is how why people follow me for the moment, at least, that I do publish these photos. So this is what I can keep doing for the moment and maybe to evolve a long term. But it's really this big decisive point of commitment, whether you can commit more time or not.
Indeed, and it's also about this, we might have it the same with this podcast. I mean, now the new wave is to have video podcasts, so someone might tell us, you know, you need to switch to video, but indeed it's, well, you know, it takes time, it takes resources, so it's really about being true to yourself, to what you would like to do and to what you believe in, or following indeed what everyone else is doing, so...
However, in my experience that I learned from the very beginning, and it was one of the big advices that I received, that I keep receiving, is to be consistent about what you do. Mm-hmm. So for the moment, it still works that if you decide to post daily, then you are expected to post daily. If you decide to post every second day, that can lead to the same result. But somehow just be consistent about your own strategy. Until now, it worked out. I hope it will also in the future.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's really what we have been thinking also about. I mean, I don't want to talk about our own podcast as well, but, you know, the idea of posting only once a month was, again, the consistency that you're talking mm-hmm. about. And before we wrap it up with our recommendations, I still have... what I think that you did with these accounts and talking about art, you really gave... another image about Brussels. I have the feeling, and Pietro maybe as well, and we all have it, might have it, that Brussels sometimes is our place where we live, but where we won't always escape from. We always look at the airport, at the train station, where we can go the weekend, where we can travel away, but and we always complain about the weather. I mean, we just complained before recording this.
I'll complain about the weather, but I actually really, really enjoy living in Brussels.
Because sure. You've not been living there for 14 and 12 years like we do.
All right, asking me in a few years.
but at the end, if you look at what you do and what Willow Brussels also and other accounts, I mean, there is life in this city and it's not that bad, no?
And there's lots of beauty and positivity. And this is what I feel so important about this whole project of mine, that even in these times when if you read the news, it's just horrible news that you read. And what I want to keep sharing, that started also in a very hard period during COVID time, but also now what's going on, to keep sharing beauty in this world. And it's the same with Brussels. I set up, actually, you asked earlier, my account focusing only on Brussels Art Nouveau. I realized one day on Saturday morning that no one is doing it, so why not? I had all these photos to post. and it's up to 30,000 followers, and actually the 60,000 and 30,000, there's like 150 in common on those two accounts.
All right, so they're...
So it's totally two different accounts. And also on the Brussels account, it's only like 15% of my followers from Belgium. So okay. Basically, my Art Nouveau Brussels account in 85% is follow from all over the world, from Australia to Brazil.
Okay.
So this is one thing, and coming back to how to get more connected to it and how to discover it. Well, fortunately enough, we have several museums, museum houses, or private houses that from time to time during certain period, like the upcoming Heritage Days this weekend, are open to the public. So it's always possible to visit these, to reserve online, and take advantage of these amazing places, like the Horta houses that are UNESCO World Heritage, the Hotel Van Etveld just here around the corner, and Ambiorix that open to the public on a regular basis since the Art Nouveau year. Mm-hmm. Also Maison Anon, it's the newest Art Nouveau museum that opened last year with the biggest success ever since. And then you have Hotel Solvay, that it's in private ownership, but you can still visit it. So in some places like Maison Rosenboom, there's a very passionate new owner family who are restoring it, but with this mission of still leaving it open to the public from time to time. And they're they're always, you can see how they restore it, the little details that come out from the behind the walls. So there's just so much and such a big treasure box here that it's impossible to finish it.
Peter, we have learned a lot today.
Indeed, we have a lot. I've seen maybe one or two of all of these museums that you mentioned.
Great. You can schedule your next weekends to visit all these Art Nouveau places for the years to come. We've wrapped it up with our
Unplugged recommendations.
Dorka, we start with you.
Well, let's start with the restaurant, because since we're talking Art Nouveau and most of us visit guests, so have guests visiting, so it's a good occasion to get ourselves out a bit in the town. There's Ultime Hallucinatie Brasserie. It's a former condone called Art Nouveau House, and the setting is like you were sitting in an Art Nouveau museum having dinner. Food is great. Prices are totally Brussels normal prices, so it's not this fancy place. So that's something totally recommended. And also in the city center, there's a restaurant, Vincent, that preserves some amazing whole wall ceramic panel paintings. It's really amazing, with some good steak.
Great. Those are two great Art Nouveau related restaurant recommendations. Pietro.
Right. Well, I'll start with a restaurant as well. This one is not as fancy, let's say, on the building aesthetics, but the food is definitely delicious, and you do get an authentic Chinese anti-treatment. It's called Gourmet Every Day. It's on Rue des Poissonnières 10. It's delicious. I remember when I went, it was four of us, and he insisted we'd sit separately in two tables for two people until a table for four was ready. Although a table for four was not going to be ready. Small place in time for us to all eat together, but you know, eat, order now. So, but it was delicious, absolutely. In terms of series, this week I had a bit of a sinus infection. So I wasn't much into reading, so I watched Chaos on Netflix. Has either of you checked it out?
I've seen popping up in my Netflix, but I haven't watched it.
Okay,
so
I recommend it. It's hilarious. And it actually stays a bit somewhat truthful as well to the Greek lore about it.
All right.
Matteo, what about your...
I will only leave you, because I'm reading books, but I don't know, I went into the mood of preparing for the US election, so I've been buying myself books about Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance.
Did you watch the debate?
I didn't watch the debate, but I plan to do it on the weekend. But I will leave you with a nice screenplay's recommendation. Oh. Maybe by the time that this podcast will be recorded, will be published, it's going to be still a nice weather around town.
Fingers crossed.
Miska is a Lebanese ice cream place. Oh. And it's in the Galerie near the Grand Place. And they also do some hot dishes, like the Lebanese cuisine hot dishes, like the famous kunefe, which is part also of the Turkish tradition as well. So highly recommended. And they serve very, very big scoops. So it's not going to be a small ice cream. It's going to be almost like a full meal if you get an ice cream with two scoops there. So highly recommended. It's very good. They have mostly fruity flavors.
Not too sweet, I hope.
Not too sweet. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not these like Kinder things, you know, that they usually have in Italy. No, they have really like fruit, like almond, pistachio, and this kind of flavor.
Nice.
So I recommend it. Well, Dorka, thanks a lot. We wrap up by remembering our audience, your Instagram accounts.
So the largest one, it's Magic of Art Nouveau, where you can find Art Nouveau from all over Europe. Mm-hmm. Then Art Nouveau Point Brussels is the Brussels-focused one, where I also always share regularly if there's an event coming up or exhibition opening, like last night in the Horta Museum that you can visit now. Smooth as Velvet is the name, just opens today. Great for the weekend. And the third one is Beyond the EU Bubble, where you can find more local destinations, hikes, and recommendations.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. This concludes our second VIP guest episode. I would like to remind our listeners to tune in every 25th of the month. We'll be there, faithfully. I'm Pietro.
I'm Matteo, and we see each other on the 25th of October. Dorka, again, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure.
See you soon.